She's beaten Nuba Negra. Jacquin Pursoir had nothing left in the vital, exhausting climb to the line. Granatine joined the favourite for third place late in the day, but it's a big race success for jockey Aidan Coleman. Put the kettle on has won, continuing a stunning week for trainer Henry de Bromhead.
But this is Tiger Roll at the final fence, up and over safely. It's going to be a third victory in the race for him, a fifth Cheltenham Festival success for Tiger Roll. He looks as good as ever, doesn't he? They race towards the line then. Keith Donoghue and Tiger Roll have won the Glenfarclas Cross Country Chase, Easy's Land.
What a day for the Irish at Cheltenham. Six winners, and we've Ruby Walsh standing by. Ruby.
It was a brilliant day, Marie. St. Patrick's Day didn't feel like St. Patrick's Day, but it was St. Patrick's Day. And yeah, six winners and just touched off in the other one. And two casts, it didn't quite peg back Sky Pirate, but an incredible day. I mean, 11, there's been 28 races so far, or 14 races, sorry. You know, Ireland are just, the Irish trained horses are just dominating.
Is it very strange over there? We didn't get to go into it too much with you yesterday.
It is. Now, I suppose, look, I've been on this show with you often enough and we're telling people, or trying to tell people that, you know, keep going, keep moving, like All-Ireland finals and watching the Premier League and all of that stuff. But to be involved in something as big as this, even the Six Nations, and it to be so empty. Like, I thought Galway was strange. Leopardstown on Christmas was weird. This is just off the charts different. It's like so eerie, and it's such a special place. And like, there's like Richie Condon wrote a winner today for Paul Hennessy, and it should have been such a magic day for them. You had to turn at the top of the track to walk back down in front of the grandstand, and there's literally five people.
Yeah,
it's just, it is so eerie, and everyone is there is trying their best to cheer each other on. Even all the Irish stable staff are in the best mate enclosure, and you know, you can hear it. You can nearly tell who's shouting. You can hear the individual voices. There's that big an echo around the place.
I've been watching it out for the last couple of days on TV, and like you pop up and you're in a little, looks like a little booth anyway. So like when something amazing happens, like Tiger Roller, like maybe Jacquin Pursoir not winning today, like are you able to react, or are you just sitting there?
No, I am able to react. I'm on the fourth or fifth floor of the Princess Royal stand, and it has a balcony actually, so I've been able to go out the door of the balcony and shout
like
down.
You looked like you're locked in there, what you were doing.
No, I'm not locked in, and shout down, and like at different people coming back down the walkway, and they've ridden winners, and you know, but I was so lucky in my career to walk back down that chute so many times in front of a packed grandstand, and you know, so many well-wishers. It's like a lap of honour on a pitch.
Hmm.
And no one's getting the lap of honour. It just feels so... the achievement is still there. And that's basically... That is what it's all about, the achievement. They're all achieving, but they're not getting the plaudits they should be experiencing. And I do feel a little sorry for each and every one of them.
But, Ruby, they're bringing the performances, aren't they? You know, normally, like I know when I used to play, you needed a bit off the crowd to bring you to that level. We're not seeing that with the jockeys, even the horses. Everyone has been incredible.
Yeah, they are, but you see, that's probably the... I won't say the beauty of horse racing, but for us, it's a novelty to perform in front of 70,000 people. It's an absolute novelty. You might get it in Galway in the summer, 40-ish thousand, but Cheltenham and Aintree are the only places big enough and with that volume of people. So it's a novelty. Monday to Friday, all year round, you are basically performing in an empty stadium. So you're well used to it.
So I think there was a lot of highlights today, and let's start with the big race, Ruby. Put the kettle on, and you said afterwards you have had to eat humble pie.
More than humble pie, I'm eating whole cake, Marie, let alone one slice. I have been, I suppose, campaigning all year that Put the Kettle On should be running in the Mrs. Paddy Power Chase on Friday. I thought it was more her level, but horses for courses, and she was really good today. She was really tough, but Henry de Bromhead's horses are on fire, and he probably didn't get the recognition yesterday that he deserved for Honeysuckle. It was about Honeysuckle and it was about Rachel, and that was the story, and unfortunately that's the way things go. But what he has done with Honeysuckle's career, like when he got her, where he's placed her, the races he's run her in, he's allowed her to mature and get better and keep improving. And he produced her yesterday in incredible form, and today we'll Put the Kettle On. Like, he hasn't ran her since Christmas time, and she got well beaten by Jacquin Pursoir. He knows she likes Cheltenham. brings her back here today in incredible order. His horses look so well and they're running out of their skins. And he deserves unbelievable credit.
I guess you'd know more than anyone then, Ruby, like how difficult it is to peak at the right time when it comes to preparing for these big races. And Tiger Roll seemed to do it again.
Yeah, I watched him in Navan a couple of weeks ago, and I suppose for racing, he's almost the poster boy, if you know what I mean. He's a horse, he's a name that goes outside of the sport. And to watch him today, to watch Keith Donoghue on him, to watch Keith's interview after the race and how emotional he got about Tiger Roll, and to watch the horse go through it, how he travelled, how he jumped, his enthusiasm, the accuracy of how he was jumping, it was magical to watch. And I'm one of the very few people who was privileged to stand there and watch it live and then listen to Keith Donoghue afterwards. And like, Keith is the wrong side of 6 foot to be a jockey. He's not the wrong side of 11 stone. He's the wrong side of 12 stone, naturally.
He said he runs 70, 80, 90 kilometres every week just to get the opportunity to ride.
I've met him here, Marie, this week. And going down in the shuttles back from the hotel we're all staying in, where we're in a bubble. Basically, we haven't left the site since we got here. And I've been going down in one of the shuttle buses and met Keith running back towards us. Now, we're up good and high here. It's all downhill to the track. Oh. And to see him running back, he's like twice a day. I saw him head off running, and it's not to stay fit, it's just to burn off weight, to shed a few extra pounds. Like, the effort he makes is incredible. He started young and he turned professional and things took off for him and he flew as a young jockey, and then he started to grow, but unfortunately he couldn't go back to being an amateur because he had too many winners ridden, and he just kept getting bigger and bigger, and he was snookered, and you know, he's had good times and bad times. And to see him today, he just deserves it.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Look, you mentioned the job that Henry de Bromhead has been doing on his horses, but I think it's probably a tricky enough one with Gordon Elliott today and him not being there and not being able to witness things.
Yeah, it is. And look, that's just the way it is. I don't know, Marie, that's just the way it is.
It's a tricky one to navigate, because I know there has been a lot of people pointing out that, you know, he wasn't really mentioned in the coverage. But look, I suppose so much has happened over the last few weeks that focusing on the positive is probably the best way to approach it. Rachel Blackmore is certainly one that has been positive.
It is, but it's like everything in life. The past can never be changed. You can only move on with the future. So it's what's going to happen next. What's gone by is gone by. And Rachel today, tactically, Marie, she was brilliant twice. Like, she had five rides today. She got three falls and she rode two winners. In the first race, she made all the right decisions on Bob Olinger, and he's by far the best horse. But in the last race, there was no pace. She rode Sir Gerhard. He was second favourite. It was a slowly run contest. She jumped out in front and dictated the race and got it absolutely spot on. It was good to watch. But as much as I admire her tactically, I'm kind of in awe of her physically, how she takes the falls. I'm looking at the fall she got in the handicap chase thinking, I'm sitting like however far away, I'm nearly feeling sore for her, and she stands up and on she goes again. Wow. If you watch the slap she got today,
she nearly bounces. It's actually quite fascinating to hear you talking about her, and also AP, and he said that she's brilliant at simplicity. What does that mean?
It's like everything. The more you complicate something, the more chance you have of getting it wrong. And you see it in a lot of sports. People overcomplicating things and forgetting to do the basics. And I always heard it listening to Ronan O'Gara, and he basically would always compare it to the All Blacks. And that's what he would always say. They were just brilliant at simplicity. And it's the same with Rachel. It's just doing the basics, and doing the basics so right. And she does that.
Did Paul Townend complicate things with Monkfish?
No, he didn't. Monkfish today wasn't the Monkfish we saw in Leopardstown. For whatever reason, he went to the second fence, Paul saw a good enough stride and the horse didn't pick up. And then they were at sixes and sevens and Paul was struggling to get a grasp on where Monkfish was today. But he adapted to it in a high enough pressure situation and the horse still delivered. And even between the last two, I mean, Eclat the Rear was the loose horse. arrives up on his outside going to the second last near, and Paul lands, and instinctively he reacted and went to try and race through on the loose horse's inside, but the loose horse wouldn't let him by, and all of a sudden going to the last and he's in a pocket, and you're thinking, oh no, this could be carnage, and they get out of it. But look, you need things to go right for you, and that one went right for Paul.
Ruby, heading into day three, and you mentioned the bubble there. Does it feel like a team over there at the moment? Is it like, we have him on the rack, let's keep the foot in the throat and finish him off?
Don't forget to listen to all the stable staff that are doing incredible job. To listen to them trying to lift the atmosphere of the place, yeah, it does feel like a team. You're looking over on the stand and William Mullins' staff are clapping Henry de Bromhead's horses, and Sneezy Foster's staff are standing behind them clapping as well. You're looking at opponents clapping each other because they're all seeing themselves as almost Team Ireland, and it is wonderful to watch and to see, and the effort they've made, and the effort the IHRB have made to, with testing and paperwork and protocols, to get everyone here and to get them all home. It looks like an effort that's going to be worth it.
And Paul Townend, actually, just to give him a bit of a mention, he did a lovely interview after the Monkfish win and thanked Jennifer Pugh as well for all the work that she had done to get everybody there safely.
Yeah, and so I was listening to him, I was thinking, yeah, fair play to you. I mean, he is champion jockey, but he was the one who stood up and said it live on television. He was able to think broad enough to say that. And I must say, I thought it was a good conversation.
Absolutely. Now, Ruby, before we let you go tomorrow, what should we look forward to?
Well, sure, look, it looks like the horses that left Gordon Elliott's are none the worse for it. So Envoy Allen in the first, he'll be hard to beat. The Boss is Oscar in the second. Third race is the Ryanair. I think Willie Mullins could win it. Which one? Mellon, Mean or Alaho? Not really sure. I think England will get a winner in the Stairs Hurdle. I think Paisley Park will win there. And then the other couple of races could be Irish as well. Look, 19 is a record for Irish horses. They're on, I think, 11 now. They could get 5 more tomorrow. 16 before they head into the last day. I think you could be into the 20s for the Irish horses, the dominance they have right now.
Well, Ruby, if you're talking to everybody over there like you are talking to us, I think that everybody will be out there trying to get all those big wins. Thanks so much for coming on tonight, Ruby. I appreciate it, and you will be here all week. And that's all we have time for. Connor Bean is up next, Donica.
Yep, that's right. We're back tomorrow at 6.